All right. Welcome in to another edition of the Other Football Podcast here on the LV Sports Network. Magnum rolling with you here on a Saturday morning, October the 7th. And no special open today. Just some music and me popping right on and saying hello. Busy, busy week and weekend continuing into next week in World Cup qualifying. And by the time next Saturday rolls around, we will know almost every participant in the 2018 World Cup, which takes place in, I guess, about 9 months from now. Anyway, it is the Other Football Podcast here on the LV Sports Network. Magnum rolling with you here on a Sunday. Broadcasting, wow, can't talk. Broadcasting to you live. Not live, I don't know why I always say that. But broadcasting to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. And it is a Saturday morning here. A whole bunch of World Cup qualification to get through, including the U.S. against Panama last night. And what is going on in South America? What a wild, wild final day of qualifying that is going to be in South America. But before we get started here, I just want to say it's been a very emotional week for me and pretty much everyone else here in my great city of Las Vegas. And, you know, Sunday night, the events of last Sunday night were just unthinkable, unimaginable. And as myself and the rest of my city still try to come to grips with what happened, the outpouring of love and just pride and from the community has just been amazing. And, you know, I just wanted to say that it really affected me because I live here. I've been a Las Vegas resident since 1999. I was on Las Vegas Boulevard Sunday night, about an hour before the tragedy took place. But, you know, if there's one thing I've learned from my great city and living in this country almost my entire life, it's that we as a country will move forward and my city will get past this and we will not live in fear, because I'm going down to Las Vegas Boulevard tonight and I am going to not allow the acts of one horrible human being to deter me from living my life. And hopefully everyone else out there listening feels the same way. But, you know, just wanted to quickly say that it really hit me and it hit a lot of other people in this great city, and the effects will be felt for a long time. But, you know, I don't really know what else to say about that. But as I try to bring you a little bit of fun today on this Saturday morning, we are going to talk about the United States and the demolition is probably the words that I should use to describe their victory over Panama last night in Orlando. And for the United States, they now have put themselves in basically a control-your-own-destiny spot. They will travel to Port of Spain, Trinidad, for their final match in qualification. That game will take place on Tuesday at Otto Boldin Stadium. For those who don't know who Otto Boldin is, he was an amazing track star, ran at UCLA. And he was an Olympian for Trinidad and Tobago, I believe, in 96 and in 2000 in Sydney as well. But Otto Boldin, probably the most notable, although I guess there's been a footballer or two who've come out of the two-island nation of Trinidad and Tobago, one island Trinidad, the other Tobago, down in, it's actually not too far off the coast of South America. But so, United States crushed Panama last night in Orlando, 4-0. That game early in the day here in Las Vegas, 4:30 start time for that one. But United States, they will control their own destiny. And for Panama, heartbreak yet again. As it is, they still sit in fourth spot, which would give them a opportunity to still qualify for the World Cup, as they would have to play a playoff. And Honduras in action today, I believe. They are in San Jose, Costa Rica. They will take on the Ticos of Costa Rica, that game today at 4 o'clock local time in San Jose. And then they host Mexico also on Tuesday night at Estadio Olimpico in San Pedro Sula. And you have to wonder, Will Mexico lay down or will Mexico show up to beat Honduras? And, you know, if you're Panama, you are certainly hoping Costa Rica, who has a lot to play for tonight, Costa Rica will be looking to gain qualification. A win or draw today against Honduras will put the Ticos into the World Cup yet again, where, as we all remember, they had a pretty memorable run led by Keylor Navas, Brian Ruiz, and they had a pretty memorable run. Came up a bit short against the Netherlands in penalty shootout, but the Ticos, they are no easy out, and they are proving that yet again. For Honduras, they need a win. Otherwise, it's going to be do or die for them against Mexico in San Pedro Sula on Tuesday night. But back to the U.S. game, and I've been very critical of this team. I was very unimpressed with the two uninspired efforts they gave about a month ago when they lost to Costa Rica at home. And then they traveled to San Pedro Sula and pretty much an uninspired effort there in earning the draw, which under normal circumstances would be acceptable. But based upon the fact that they had lost to Costa Rica last time out, I would have expected the United States to come out and play a little bit of a better game against Honduras. But they knew that they had to win last night or things were going to be very bleak for them, because had they lost to Panama somehow, the unthinkable would have happened and the United States would be in fourth place, tied with Honduras, and Honduras would have a game in hand on them. However, United States, they got the scoring started early last night. They came right out, and Christian Pulisic, there's just nothing else I could say about this kid other than if you don't know who he is, you shouldn't be watching the game, because he is one of the brightest young stars in the game, not just for the United States, in the world. He is a big part of what Borussia Dortmund does in the Bundesliga. He is going to be a star, and I think it's only a matter of time before he moves on and plays in the Premier League, or he's snatched up by Bayern Munich, or maybe he goes and plays in Spain. Who knows? It's still early to predict what path he's going to go down, but I do think I'm pretty confident in saying that Christian Pulisic is going to be a star, not just in the United States, but throughout the world, especially in this game of soccer. He's 19 years old. Just a couple years ago, he was playing for his youth team in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Think about that. Now he's scoring goals. He is the facilitator, so to speak, of the United States offense. He is the best player in the U.S. There's not absolutely no doubt in my mind that he is. And this team relies on him probably more than most national teams should rely on a 19-year-old. But he came out of the gate last night, and he got it started in the eighth minute last night in Orlando.
Solo goal in the last game. Now then, Pulisic. Can he get away here? It's Pulisic. He's going to score, surely, is he? Yes, he has. Solo goal. USA lead.
So that was the first goal of the night. Christian Pulisic got it started in the eighth minute for the United States, and it really set the tone for what they're going to do the rest of the night. Panama had no answers, and Pulisic teamed up with Jozy Altidore just 11 minutes later to really put the game away. Here we are in the 19th minute, and this game was already over.
Very well-timed run. Altidore in the middle. Wood arriving. Areola's there as well. It's Pulisic and Altidore! 2-0!
So Pulisic with the cross gets to Altidore, who basically just put it in the open net. And the United States was then off to the races. But I want to talk about what the United States was able to do. Their three guys up top, Wood, Altidore, Pulisic, they were able to just run rampant on Panama last night. They were able to do whatever they wanted. They got in space. They created opportunities. And Bobby Wood, he's probably the third guy when you're talking about who the U.S. relies on, at least up top. I mean, he did so many small things last night, and really what he was able to do was he was able to give opportunities to Pulisic and Altidore while I think taking opportunities away from himself. But he had a pretty big play at about the 60th minute that, even though the game was already over, I think, at that point, What he was able to do, I'm sorry, this was about the 40th minute. We'll get to that later. This is about the 41st minute, and Bobby Wood was able to get into space, went around the defender, and he was able to earn a penalty kick for the United States.
Don't just rely on Bobby Wood to pull off something special.
Great run here by Bobby Wood. He's gone past two or three. Penalty, says the referee, for the foul on Bobby Wood.
So Bobby Wood gets in space, goes around the defender. He's grabbed the entire time, gets into the box, fouled, and the U.S., they didn't ask Bobby Wood to step up. They asked Jozy Altidore to step up and take the penalty kick.
Altidore's had to wait a long time. It's him against Pinedo. Oh, how cheeky is that? The Panenka penalty. How nerveless have you got to be to do that?
And if you don't know what we're talking about here, the penalty kick by Altidore, usually you'll see a guy step up and he'll blast it into either the left or right top corner. Well, Jozy, after waiting about 2 or 3 minutes between the time that Wood was fouled and the time that he was actually allowed to take his penalty kick, he just stepped up and just softly kicked it right down the center of the goal. The goalie started to dive, and I think as soon as he realized what was going on, he said, "Oh, my goodness." Because you have to see the replay of Jozy Altidore's goal if you haven't already seen it. It was just funny because he just stepped up and he softly booted it. It was almost like a child taking a penalty kick, and it was right down the center of the goal. And at that point, the U.S. is up 3-0 going into the break. Panama really had no answer, and to add insult to injury, the man from Honolulu, I believe he's only the second player in U.S. history to be from the great state of Hawaii. And I don't know, is that how you say Hawaii? That's how, I don't know. My New Jersey, trying to do a Hawaiian accent just doesn't work. But Bobby Wood, the man from Hawaii, Honolulu to be exact, only the second player in U.S. history to play for the United States national team from the great state of Hawaii, who was born there, the first. If you don't know, I'm going to tell you. It was Brian Ching, who I believe is still to this day the only member of the U.S. national team to play in the World Cup who was from the state of Hawaii. I can't recall if Bobby Wood was on the World Cup roster 4 years ago. I don't think he was, but he will definitely be there this year, and he will become the second guy from the great state of Hawaii to play for. Oh. Should we just play that every time Bobby Wood scores a goal? Let me see how that works. So Bobby Wood steps up, the man from Hawaii, makes it 4-0 United States. That's how it would end, Wood getting his goal in the 63rd minute. He also created a penalty in the box. So Bobby Wood getting the job done. And U.S., they defeat Panama by a score of 4-0 last night in Orlando. They will now travel to Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago on Tuesday. I'm not sure what island that's on. I think it might be on the island of Trinidad. I don't know for sure, but I'm just guessing there. By the way, from what I've been told, Carnival is something that we all know is celebrated in Brazil. However, they also celebrate Carnival in Trinidad and Tobago. And from what I've heard, and I don't know if this is fact because I've never been to Carnival in Brazil or in Trinidad and Tobago, I have heard that Carnival is actually amazing in Trinidad and Tobago. I've heard it's the best in the world. I'm sure people from Brazil might disagree with me on that, but I'm just putting it out there from what I've been told. It was a very popular thing that takes place in Trinidad and Tobago as far as things to do. But Trinidad is. You know, obviously, Dwight York was the man about 10 years ago from Trinidad and Tobago. We all know he played for Manchester United, Aston Villa, and he's arguably the most famous footballer. Actually, he probably is the most famous footballer from Trinidad and Tobago, but he is not going to be taking the field for Trinidad and Tobago on Tuesday night when they host the United States. This is the Other Football Podcast here on the LV Sports Network about 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday, October the 7th. Wanted to wait till the United States game with Panama was completed before I came in and did this one. But just to update you on CONCACAF standings, and we'll go through the final day of qualifying. So on Tuesday night, we will know what three nations from CONCACAF will be representing the group in the World Cup. Two of them, I think, are set. Mexico has already qualified. They have played an outstanding hexagonal. I don't know. I guess it's hexagonal. Is that how you say it? They've played a really good group of games. Nine games down, six wins, three draws. They've only allowed four goals. One of those was a cracker by, of course, Michael Bradley down at Azteca, but they have not lost a game, and for some reason, Juan Carlos Osorio is still being criticized by the fans down there in Mexico. But Mexico, they win last night. They beat Trinidad and Tobago by a score of 3-1. That was in San Luis Potosí, which is a small city, and Chucky Lozano, Chicharito, and Hector Herrera all scoring goals. Mexico actually trailed in that one from the 66th minute when Winchester, shot in Winchester, scored the goal in the 66th minute. Chucky Lozano then drew even for Mexico in the 78th minute. Chicharito, 10 minutes later, put Mexico ahead for good. And Hector Herrera scored one 4 minutes into stoppage time. So Mexico, they defeat Trinidad and Tobago. You know, Trinidad, I'll give them credit. They didn't lay down. And they're not going to lay down for the United States. They've had a pretty rough go of it. They were participants in the World Cup in 2006 in Germany. Quick exit for them. Only played the three games. But this has been a pretty tough qualifying run for them. Nine games played. Only one victory. Eight losses. They've been outscored by 13 goals. And they got the one win over Panama. So that's very interesting. That was back in March in Port of Spain when the U.S. played Trinidad and Tobago. They played at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. I believe that was in Denver. The U.S. beat them by a score of 2-0 back in June. And so Trinidad and Tobago, they are not going to lay down for the United States. They're going to try to ruin this, and they should. I have absolutely no problem with that. I'd like to see the United States have to get a tough victory because I still question whether or not they have a lot of guts. And last night was great. They beat Panama. They should have beaten Panama. But we've seen a few gutless efforts by the United States in this campaign. So I want Trinidad to throw the kitchen sink at them. Make the U.S. earn it. And I'd like to see the U.S., obviously, I want to see the United States win. I couldn't even imagine, I can't fathom what the World Cup would be like without the United States in it and what it would do to set this sport back maybe decades if the United States doesn't make the World Cup. I know the TV people are praying that the United States gets in because I believe it's Fox paid over $1 billion for the rights to the World Cup in Russia. And if the United States is not there, I can't even imagine how awful. I'll watch because I love the game. But the casual fan who only cares about the U.S. soccer once every 4 years, the U.S. isn't in it. They ain't going to watch. They're not going to watch Japan against Cote d'Ivoire in the World Cup. I will. I know all my friends who love the game will. But the average American who only watches, it's like the Olympics. I love the Olympics. I'll watch track and field if it's on TV. I love it. But the average fan is not going to watch track and field on a Tuesday in the summer if it's not the Olympics. The same with soccer. And for the United States, I mean, I see it at work. I talk to a lot of guys I work with who really don't understand the World Cup. They don't understand the qualification, why it takes so long, how you get into the World Cup. I mean, I was going to the World Cup qualifiers in 2015 for the Russian World Cup. So, you know, it's a long road, obviously, for the United States. Just get the victory. Do it convincingly. I don't even care if you don't do it convincingly. Just get the win. Because you do not want to be in that playoff. Now, the good news for the United States is, unless Honduras beats Costa Rica and Mexico, or gets a draw and beats Costa Rica, or a combination of a win and a draw, there's not a good chance that they would be able to pass the United States into the playoff spot. Panama could still do it. Panama could still leapfrog the United States if the U.S. loses to Trinidad and Tobago. However, if the U.S. gets a draw against Trinidad and Tobago, barring two victories by Honduras, they would be in. Panama, they sit in fourth. They have a big one. They play Costa Rica, as I said, in San Jose. But the United States, last night, put them in a really good position. They have a tremendous goal differential over Honduras. Honduras, assuming the U.S. and Honduras both finished level, Honduras would need to outscore, or they would need to beat either Costa Rica or Mexico by 13 goals. So the U.S. is in a really good position. Once Costa Rica and Honduras final tonight, the U.S. will really have a better idea of what they need to do against Trinidad. It may come down to they only need a draw. But then again, you have Panama right behind them. And Panama, obviously, they would need some things to happen in order to get the third qualification. But we know Trinidad and Tobago will not be there. It's looking very, very difficult for Honduras. Panama looks like they are in position to qualify for the playoff, which would be good for them. Remember, just 4 years ago, the U.S. broke their heart. They had the playoff spot sewn up. It was all theirs. And then the United States scores two late goals and put Mexico in the World Cup. Now, granted, Mexico still had to go to playoff, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. And for the United States, it is now down to defeat Trinidad and Tobago, and you can silence all the critics because you will be in the World Cup. Anything can happen at that point. There's a long time for this team to grow. Just get the job done on Tuesday night, and for a little while, the critics will be quiet. All right, so I believe it was Wednesday night. We had a playoff in the Asian qualification, and the game was played in Malaysia because Syria was the home side, and obviously Syria unable to host World Cup qualifiers because of what's going on there. And it's been a miracle run for Syria already. It continued to an extent the other night. They hosted Australia. Australia, right before the half, they took the lead as Robbie Crusoe, scored a goal for Australia.
Australia on the hunt for a goal before halftime. Leckie! Australia have their goal.
It's kind of a terrible call, to be honest. I'm not quite sure what that guy was saying, but Robbie Crusoe scored the goal for Australia. The Socceroos led Syria 1-0 going into the break. And Crusoe, by the way, plays for Bochum in Bundesliga 2. I just like saying Bundesliga. Any excuse I have to say Bundesliga, like Bobby Wood plays for Hamburg in the Bundesliga. Christian Pulisic plays for Dortmund in the Bundesliga, right? I love saying Bundesliga. I'm not sure if Aaron Johansson still plays in the Bundesliga. I think he was with Werder Bremen for a while. Not sure where he is now. So Australia led 1-0, and it looked like it was going to end that way. But Syria, they continued to fight. They did not lay down. They found something inside of them to walk away with the draw.
Fired in again towards Soma. Leckie gets his head in the way as the referee pointed to the spot. Syria have a penalty. Australia are baffled. Up steps Al Soma. And he scores! Syria draw level. Syria keep their fairy tale alive. The Arabian Zlatan converts into the roof of the net.
The Arabian's Latin, that's right. Omar Al-Soma, who is the star for Syria, he is nicknamed the Syrian Zlatan or Syrian Ibrahimovic because his style of play is very similar to that of Zlatan. He plays for Al Ahly, which is in the Saudi League, and he drew the foul in the box. He stepped up. He calmly drilled the ball in the back of the net. Syria actually had an opportunity later. Now, the tying goal, it came pretty late in the match. I had it pulled up, but it came pretty late in the match. I believe it came in like the 80th minute or 88th minute for Syria. And they ended up walking away with the draw. 1-1 was the final there. And that game was played in Krubong, in Malaysia. Omar Al-Soma's goal came in the 85th minute. It was a penalty kick, obviously. Syria actually had an opportunity about 5 minutes later, right before stoppage, to possibly steal the W and walk away with the win. It didn't happen. Now, Australia, they are in a good position. They go home. I believe they're going to be playing that game in Melbourne. And, you know, for Australia, they're playing at the ANZ Stadium in Sydney. That is also Tuesday, so it'll be Monday night here in Las Vegas, probably when we're all sleeping. But Australia, they're in good position, and as long as they don't lose this match, well, actually, I guess in theory, if it ends in a draw, they'll go to stoppage time, they'll play extra time, and then it could go to penalty kicks. So Syria, the dream is still alive. A 1-0 win by Syria would send them into the playoff against likely Honduras or Panama. So while it's a world away, it has ramifications here in the United States, or in CONCACAF, I should say. Now, this is the Other Football Podcast. I am Magnum here on the LV Sports Network, rolling with you on Saturday, October the 7th. And we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to go over to what is taking place in Europe. And, you know, it's been a pretty interesting run of qualification in Europe. We are actually down to the final set of games being played, and we will start in Group A, where France, Sweden, and the Netherlands, Bulgaria still not technically eliminated, although they could be after today, but they are hosting France, the group leaders. And France is going to have to rebound because they drew with Luxembourg back in September. That game was played in Toulouse. And the French, really uninspired effort. They drew with Luxembourg. And for Luxembourg, probably one of the greatest nights in the history of their country, sporting-wise. So France in a position where they need to win to stay ahead of Sweden. Netherlands still alive, although for the Dutch, they have been very, very unfortunate. And they will play Sweden on the 10th of October in Amsterdam. But just to give you an idea, Sweden right now has actually moved ahead of France in the group. They have 19 points. France has 17. France will be playing in Sofia, Bulgaria later today. But Sweden today crushed Luxembourg, put up 8 goals in that one. That game was played at the Friends Arena. Not making too many friends. They're in the 82nd minute. That game was played in Sweden. Marcus Berg for Sweden has 4 goals in that one. 18th minute, 37th minute, 54th minute, and the 71st minute. So Sweden, as it stands right now, lead that group, but still quite a few games to be played, and nothing has been decided there. But now the pressure is on France, because you're going to be trailing Sweden tonight when you take the field against Bulgaria. Netherlands, they are keeping their dream alive, although it's going to be very difficult for them. They are in Belarus, where they will take on, obviously, Belarus, and then they return home Tuesday to play Sweden. So they're still alive. They can still get in, but it's looking very, very difficult for them. Now, for them, obviously, they're going to be hoping for a playoff spot, but they trail Sweden by 6 points. So they are going to need to win their next two and have a very, very convincing win over Sweden as well as Belarus to do it. Because Sweden today, assuming they don't give up a goal in these remaining 8 minutes to Luxembourg, they will have a 14-goal differential on Holland. So that is just crushing for the Dutch. Because not only are they going to trail by 6 points, they're going to have to overcome a 14-goal differential to surpass Sweden. So Sweden right now looking like they're going to at least be in the playoff. Netherlands, their World Cup dream is looking less and less likely. Group B, nothing finalized there either. Switzerland has an opportunity today to remain 3 points ahead of Portugal heading into their final matchup, which will take place on Tuesday as well in Lisbon. But the Swiss, they are home in Basel. They are hosting Hungary. Hungary off the pace. They are way back. This is really a two-team race. One of these teams is going to qualify, Switzerland or Portugal. The other is going to, I'm sure, be in the playoff. For the Portuguese, they are hosting, or they are in Andorra La Vella. Beautiful city, by the way. I have been there. The Caldeia, a very famous site in Andorra La Vella. It is a superb tax haven. No taxes on anything in Andorra. Interesting. When you go into the country, you just go in. I took the bus from Barcelona. It took about 3 hours. You just go in. No customs, nothing. I wanted to get my passport stamped. I couldn't even find a place to do it. But when you leave the country, I'm assuming it's the same going into France, but when you go back into Spain, Spanish immigration and customs will stop you. They want to check the bus, see what you're bringing back in, because people go there and don't pay taxes on electronics and stuff. Camera shops were everywhere in Andorra La Vella, but I digress. So Portugal, they have an opportunity to stay even with Switzerland. They will host Switzerland, and the winner of that match on Tuesday will qualify for the World Cup. The loser probably in a playoff. I can't see a situation where they weren't. But Portugal has a loss in the group. Switzerland does not. However, Portugal has a goal differential pretty significant over Switzerland. So they're still in pretty good shape to get Cristiano Ronaldo into the World Cup. Germany in Group C, they qualified. They beat Northern Ireland during the week, and Sebastian Rudi really left it up to no chance. He got the scoring started very, very, very early in Belfast.
Here's Goretzka with the delivery. Almost onto the head of Sandro Wagner. Anxious early moment there for Northern Ireland. What a shot and what a goal. It's absolutely outstanding from Sebastian Rudi. What a start. Less than a minute and a half played. And the Belfast crowd stunned into momentary silence by this.
So Germany, they win that one 3-1. They are in the World Cup, and they have scored, are you ready for this, in 9 games in Group C, they have scored 38 goals. They're averaging 4 goals a game. They've only allowed 3. They are a machine right now. They didn't allow a goal until their 5th game, and that came in Baku, Azerbaijan. They played San Marino twice, put up 15 goals against San Marino. They only allowed 1 goal through their first, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So they only allowed 2 goals into their 7th match. Czech Republic in Prague was able to score 1. They have not allowed a goal in Germany. They are just crushing teams. They beat Norway 6-0 in Stuttgart. They opened it up with a 3-0 win over Norway in Oslo. Germany, I don't know how you bet against this team. They won the Confederations Cup with basically their B and C team. They are going to host Azerbaijan on Wednesday, and that game was be played at Kaiserslautern, former Bundesliga. Yes, I was able to say it. I think Kaiserslautern is now in the Bundesliga too. But for Northern Ireland, all hope is not lost. They still have an opportunity for the playoff. They've lost two games, both to Germany. For them, they will be traveling to Oslo. They will take on Norway. And a win should put them into the playoff in Europe with an opportunity to advance to the World Cup. Group D is wild. You have Serbia, who lead the group by a point. They actually lost yesterday to Austria. And for Serbia, they will need to come home and defeat Georgia in Belgrade, and they will qualify. Wales, they are still alive as well. No Gareth Bale for them, no problem. They beat Georgia in Tbilisi 1-0. They come home, and they will host Ireland on Thursday. No, I'm sorry, that's Monday. Monday they're going to play Ireland. Ireland defeated Moldova yesterday 3-0 in Dublin. I think that was the final score of that one. But Ireland technically still alive. They need some things to happen. I'm sorry, they beat Moldova 2-0 in Dublin. But they play Wales. And the last time these two teams played in March, Seamus Coleman suffered a pretty rough injury in that one. Broken leg. And no love lost, I don't think, between these two sides. That game is going to be intense because both of them still fighting for a possibility of a playoff spot. Serbia, the task is easy. Win and you are in. Lose and all hell could break loose, because with Wales playing Ireland, a Welsh win and a Serbian loss will put Wales into the World Cup. Ireland, they have an opportunity still. They would need to score quite a few goals against Wales to automatically qualify. Of course, Serbia would need to lose as well. But there was a time where there were four teams. Austria was in the mix as well, and they were only separated by like 2 points, the top four. Serbia separated a little bit. Austria has been eliminated. But, you know, for Ireland, Wales, and Serbia, everything to play for on Monday in Group D in Europe. Group E, Poland, they get the job done. They have not qualified yet. They beat Armenia 6-1. I thought they were in, but Denmark did not go away easily. They beat Montenegro 1-0, and Denmark is playing Romania in Copenhagen. That game tomorrow. And for Poland, they host Montenegro on tomorrow as well in Warsaw. And for Poland, it's pretty simple. Win or draw, you are in the World Cup. Denmark needs a win and a loss by Poland, and they would actually qualify because they are only 3 points back, but goal differential is even. So Denmark needs to defeat Romania. Poland would need to lose. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Poland will get the job done tomorrow against Montenegro. Now, Montenegro, they're not alive, but they could qualify for a playoff spot, so they have everything to play for as well. But it's an interesting group. Group F, England has qualified, and they were playing Slovakia was the game before at Wembley back in September. Now, England is in. They will travel to Lithuania tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Nothing to play for them or for Lithuania. They have been eliminated from even contention of a playoff. But the game was even for a while, England and Slovenia. Now, England knew a draw would get the job done. It came very, very, very late in the game, but who else would score a goal for England but this guy?
Things stand, even a draw will see England through. Kyle Walker has robbed it. How's the cross? Oh, it's brilliant! And Harry Kane's put it in! Captain Kane in stoppage time sends England to Russia.
So 4 minutes into stoppage time, they would play 2 minutes more. England knew a draw was good enough. Didn't matter. Harry Kane, the man for Spurs, the Premier League, he's also the man for England, and Gareth Southgate's team is in to Russia 2020. Now Scotland, they are still alive. They are playing for their lives. They got the job done against Slovakia in Glasgow. Now they travel to Slovenia. I I never know how to say the name of the capital of Slovenia. It's an LJ. I don't know how you put that together. LJUB. Is it Ljubljana? Something like that, maybe. I'm guessing the J is silent. Ljubljana. It's a beautiful city. I've seen pictures of it. Beautiful country. And for Slovenia, they were in the World Cup a couple years ago. They're not going to get there in Russia. So for Scotland, a win should be good enough to put them into the playoff. That would put them at 20 points. But for Scotland, 20 points would probably be enough to get them into the playoff. Group G has been settled. Spain, they advance. Again, they have scored 35 goals, only allowed three. They are playing unbelievably well. They defeated Albania in Spain, and they were able to automatically qualify. They have been playing extremely good football. The last three matches, they beat Italy 3-0. They crushed Liechtenstein 8-0. And then they beat Albania on Friday in Spain 3-0. They will travel to Jerusalem, and they will play Israel, a team who I thought could make some noise. However, Israel has really fallen off the pace. Italy in that group, you know, they're struggling because they lost to Spain 3-0 in Madrid back in September. They came home and they played in Italy and they drew, or I'm sorry, they beat Israel 1-0. And then they drew with Macedonia, a team that they should probably beat easily. They drew with them in Turin. So something's not right with Italy. I do think they'll be okay. They'll get the job done and they will actually get into that playoff. Group H, Belgium has qualified automatically. Bosnia and Herzegovina, they need some help to get into the playoff. And Group I, arguably my favorite group in Europe because, and I wanted highlights so bad I could not find them, but Iceland is a victory away from qualifying for the World Cup. Think about that. There's 300,000 people in the entire country. It would be the smallest nation to ever qualify for the World Cup, and we all remember what a fantastic atmosphere the Icelandic fans brought to the European Championships just two summers ago. And if they get to Russia, and I think they're going to, I feel it, this could be the story of the World Cup. Iceland, because they are almost there. They lost to Croatia in the playoff to get to Brazil. This time, they control their own destiny. And I don't know how to say it in Icelandic, but the name of the team translates to our boys. And I am pulling for them. I have a very, very good friend who's Icelandic. And I've known this person for a very, very long time. And we're very, very close. In fact, we watched some of the Iceland European Championship games together. And the chant, the atmosphere, the love that this country has for this team. Listen, they were in a position where they very nearly gave it away. They had just defeated Croatia in June. They were riding high. Then they traveled to Finland, and they lost to Finland. And at that point, they looked like they were going to be in a bit of trouble because they had to play Ukraine, who was second in the group. They had to play Turkey, who was fourth in the group. Ukraine came to Reykjavik. Iceland beat them 2-0. Yesterday, Iceland traveled to Turkey. Not an easy place to play. And they won that game 3-0. Now they return home on Monday night. They will host Kosovo, who has 1 point in the group. You could not have written a better script for Iceland to do this. I think they're going to get the job done. And I think we will be talking about Iceland playing in Russia in the World Cup. Think about that. Iceland. One of the smallest countries on earth. And they have 300. Think about it. Let's do the math on this. They have 300,000 people that live in the country. You figure 50% of them are women. That takes you down to 150,000. Then you think of those 150,000 men. How many are between the age of 18 and 30? You're probably down to about 30, 40,000. So you have a population of about 30 or 40,000 people that you can build a World Cup roster for. With, I mean, it is an unbelievable story. The fact that they were there in Europe two summers ago, the fact that they were on the doorstep to qualify for Brazil 4 years ago, they control their own destiny. Iceland has an opportunity to qualify for the World Cup. I still cannot believe it. I am still trying to wrap my hands around this. I am a big Iceland fan. I think we all, if you love this game, I don't know how you could not root for Iceland unless you're Ukraine or Croatia, because those are the two teams chasing Iceland. It hasn't been pretty. It's been a very difficult group because Croatia and Ukraine are two formidable opponents. Turkey also pretty good. And Finland, despite the fact that they're way off the pace, they've played extremely well. They beat Iceland, and then they drew with Croatia yesterday. And, you know, it's just incredible to think that Iceland needs to beat Kosovo to qualify for the World Cup. That's it. Beat Kosovo and you're in. I think they're going to do it. I really do. And I think they're going to give us an incredible story for Russia 2018. And I mean, it's just fantastic. You know, they had Eder Gudjonsson, who played for Barcelona, played for Manchester United. And it was like, all right, is he kind of like it for Iceland? Is he going to be the one guy? No. He has inspired a generation of young people to play soccer, football in Iceland. And they're on the verge. They are on the verge of making history. It is the Other Football Podcast here on the LV Sports Network. I haven't even had a chance to talk about what's going on in South America because I'm so excited about Iceland. But it is wild, wild stuff in South America. Seven teams fighting for four automatic spots. One team will go to the playoff. And just to give you an idea of how crazy it is, with one day left, they have one team qualified. One team is guaranteed to be in Russia, and that is Brazil. That's it. Uruguay, Chile, Colombia, Peru, Argentina, Paraguay. They're all still alive for one of those three remaining automatic spots. Incredible. It's unbelievable. And to make it even more unfathomable, today, October 7th, with one game left in World Cup qualification, Leo Messi and Argentina are not in the World Cup. They wouldn't even be in the playoff. If it ended today, they are done. They'd have no shot. Incredible. It's absolutely insane what is going on in South America and World Cup qualification. Brazil, they've been qualified for a while. They have blown through this qualification. 17 games, 11 wins, 5 draws, including the other day in Bolivia. They've only lost one game in their qualification, and that was to the team that they are playing on Tuesday, almost to the day, 1 year for them. That was almost 2 years to the day. They played Chile in October of 2015. That's the only game they've lost in qualification. They have blown through everybody else since. They lost that game in Santiago 2-0 on October the 8th. We come full circle on October the 10th. Brazil will host Chile in Sao Paulo, and an opportunity to play spoiler. Chile currently are in the World Cup. They're currently there. Chile is currently in the World Cup. However, they are not guaranteed to qualify. They have to approach this game as a must-win. Brazil is not going to lay down for them. Brazil is going to try to beat them because we are talking rivalry. We are talking dislike. We're talking two teams that just don't like each other. Chile has won two consecutive South American championships. They were in the finals of the Confederations Cup where they lost to Germany. They need to travel to Sao Paulo and beat Brazil to be guaranteed a spot. A draw should be good enough. However, it might not be good enough. That goal differential is only at plus two. You have four teams behind you who are all within striking distance. Now, it'd be very difficult for Paraguay to overtake Chile. So you're probably safe from Paraguay. However, you're not safe from Argentina. You're not safe from Peru. And you're not safe from Colombia. Uruguay sits in second in the group. They are all but in. They will travel to, they host Bolivia on Tuesday in Montevideo. And for them, simple. Win or draw, you're in. They'll get the job done. Uruguay should be in the World Cup. Again, nothing guaranteed. However, it will be very, very difficult for anyone to overtake them and take that second spot from them. So they look to be in pretty good shape. As he said, Chile is in third. Colombia, they sit in fourth. And for Colombia, the nightmare transpired the other day.
A chance at the other end, and it might be there, and it is. Paraguay have stolen it. Can you believe this? It's Antonio Sanabria to surely win it for Paraguay.
That game was wild because Colombia was in really good position to win the game. They were home in Barranquilla, Colombia. They were leading 2-1, they were leading 1-0 in the 80th minute. They got the go-ahead goal from Falcao, the 79th minute, and they led for 10 minutes. Oscar Cardozo, he scored in the 89th minute to draw even for Paraguay, and as we heard, Antonio Sanabria scores 2 minutes into stoppage time, and Paraguay steals the win, steals the points, and put Colombia on edge. They currently are in fourth. Colombia now travels to Lima, Peru, in what will arguably be the biggest game in the history of Peruvian football. They're hosting Colombia in Lima. A guy I work with, he's actually flying down. He's from Peru. He's going to that game. For Peru, they have an opportunity to qualify for the World Cup. And it's been a very, very, very long time for Peru to be relevant in world football. In fact, they have not played in the World Cup. It was 1982. They were there in 78, they were there in 70, and then they hadn't been there since 1930. So for Peru, it has been a very, very long time. We're talking 35 years since Peru has qualified for the World Cup. Last time they were there, 82, they beat they drew with Cameroon, they drew with Italy, and they lost to Poland 5-1. But pretty wild stuff in common ball. Peru, an opportunity to qualify for the World Cup for the first time, as I said, in over 30 years. With a win, Argentina, it's going to be tough for them as well because they travel to Quito. They will take on Ecuador. So as it stands right now, Brazil is in, Uruguay should be in, barring something absolutely unbelievable. Chile, I'm not so sure. It's going to be very, very difficult for them to beat Brazil and Sao Paulo. Colombia with a win over Peru, they will be in. Peru with a win over Colombia, they will be in. Argentina, they could still get in. However, it's looking like a real possibility that they're going to be in the playoff. I mean, who knows? Anything can happen. I mean, I'm trying to picture a scenario in which somehow Paraguay, who through all of this is still alive. And for Paraguay, they play Venezuela at home at their stadium of the Chaco, Defensores del Chaco. And for them, a win, and they could leapfrog Argentina, Peru, Colombia, and Chile and qualify for the World Cup when we were shoveling dirt on them. We said they were gone. They had no shot. But they're still alive. And that would be the most unbelievable of unbelievable stories if Paraguay, with seven losses in World Cup qualifying, somehow got in. I can't even predict what's going to happen because it's so unbelievable. I do think Paraguay is going to get, I think they're going to win. I think they're going to beat Venezuela. And they're going to put a lot of pressure on everyone else. Because you don't think that these teams like Chile and Argentina are going to be looking up at the scoreboard? Argentina, for sure, to see what Peru and Colombia are doing. I mean, this is wild. I can't recall anything like this, but South America has been the best qualifying group in all of the World Cup for Russia. And it is the Other Football Podcast here on the LV Sports Network. We are going way long today. We're almost up to an hour. And, you know, it's funny. One of the other guys who does a podcast here, he said to me, how do you talk to yourself for an hour? This is very easy. I'm just a weird guy, I guess, that I can talk to myself for an hour. Before we get out, I want to talk about what's going on in Africa because I don't want to forget about them. They're winding down as well. Their group qualifying right now looks like Tunisia in Group A. They are in the driver's seat. They lead Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, by 3 points. Guinea and Libya way off the pace. So Guinea and Tunisia draw. They're at the half right now. That game, I believe, is being played in Guinea. Conakry, which is, I think it's capital. I don't know. But for Tunisia, get the 3 points or a 1 point, and they will still lead Democratic Republic of Congo. Then they would play Libya on November 6th. So we won't know from that group unless Tunisia win. A Tunisia win and a Democratic Republic of Congo loss to Libya would put Tunisia in the World Cup. However, right now Congo leads Libya 1-0. That game, I believe it is also at the half, but 54th minute there. Democratic Republic of Congo got a goal in the 50th minute, so interesting group there. Nigeria in Group B, they are almost qualified. They lead Zambia by 6 points, and they actually beat Zambia today, so we can now safely say Nigeria is going to be in Russia. They become the first Africa team to qualify for the World Cup. Group C, Cote d'Ivoire, they lead that group. They drew today with Mali, so nothing guaranteed there. Morocco right there, only 2 points back. Gabon also in contention. They will play today in Casablanca. So Morocco with an opportunity to overtake Ivory Coast in the group. Gabon, a win by them, and they would draw even with Ivory Coast, although they would be behind on goal differential. Group D, some interesting stuff that took place there. Senegal is off the pace. They have to play a makeup game with South Africa. But Burkina Faso, they actually lost today to South Africa in Johannesburg. So for Cape Verde Islands, they have an opportunity, if they can defeat Senegal today, to take the lead in that group and put themselves in position to possibly qualify. And I think they would act, think about this, Cape Verde Islands, so Iceland could become the smallest nation to qualify for the World Cup. However, Cape Verde Islands could actually break that record, and they only have a population of Cape Verde Islands. They only have a population. Actually, they are bigger than Iceland, so I take that back. So they have 500,000 people, so they would actually not be the smallest. But a win by Cape Verde Islands would put them in the driver's seat over Senegal, put Senegal 4 points behind, although Senegal has a game in hand. And Group E, Egypt, they are on the verge. They play Congo today at home. Uganda still alive. They are even, right? I'm sorry, they drew level in Kampala with Ghana today. So the Black Stars, they're still alive, but a win by Egypt today would eliminate Ghana from the World Cup. So what we can say is Nigeria is there. Egypt and Uganda are both fighting for their group. Burkina Faso, a big step backwards today for them. Ivory Coast as well. Nigeria, as I said, they've qualified. Tunisia can really put a bit of distance between themselves and everyone else in their group and become the second team to qualify. Very, very close. This is the Other Football Podcast here on the LV Sports Network. And I feel bad because I didn't spend as much time on Africa as I maybe should have. But just running out of time. Haven't spent any time in Oceania because their group's final. New Zealand is in the playoff. We will wait to see who they play. It will be a team from South America. We just don't know who it will be. But would be wild if it's Argentina and New Zealand. Don't know. But World Cup qualifying winding down. These games in Africa, we won't know for sure until November who exactly is in or who takes all five of those spots. No playoff between African nations. They get five qualifying spots, and Nigeria is there for, it seems like, the 700th time in a row. Anyway, we're going to wind it down here on the Other Football Podcast on the LV Sports Network on Magnum. And music's telling me it's going to be time to get out of here. Next week, we will know whether or not the United States is in the World Cup. I'm predicting they will get there. I'm also predicting Iceland will get there. Other than that, I have no idea. It's going to be a wild, wild final day of qualifying across Europe, South America, Europe, North America. This is why I love this game. This is why the World Cup is the greatest sporting event on the planet. The qualification is intense. Anyway, going to say have a great day, everybody. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the support. This is the Other Football Podcast on Magnum. You can follow me on Instagram at Magnum702 and on Twitter at Magnum702. Everybody, you have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the games. We will talk to you, hopefully, next week. Peace out.